stand clear of the doors.
Good evening, I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where we're recording Diz Dad's podcast, episode number 44. Joining me tonight are Nathan Trent.
Hello, everybody.
Dave Compton.
Hey, guys.
And a couple of special guests tonight, Jay Lewis.
Hello.
And his brother, Craig Lewis.
Hello.
And guys, tonight we're going to talk about guys' trips to Walt Disney World. We've all taken them, slightly different, configurations and things. We'll talk about all those in just a minute. But before we talk about those past trips, I do want to take one moment and talk about a trip that's coming up, now less than 5 months away. The first ever Diz Dads convention is coming up January 10th through 14th, 2013. And we've been working with our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, to put together a really terrific trip. We do have resort availability at All Star Movies, at Port Orleans Riverside, and at Wilderness Lodge, each of those at discounted rates from the standard rates, which are especially hard to find in that time period because it is marathon weekend. So if you'd like to join us, hop over to DizDads.com. You can follow the link to the Fairy Tale Journeys by Diz Dads agents and contact any of us. We'd be happy to help you book your trip. All right, guys. I want to start with Jay and Craig because their trip was sort of what gave me the idea for doing this podcast. So, guys, you know, this was back in June, and you were meeting your dad down there for another vacation trip. But you hit on the idea of, you know, maybe doing something, you know, for yourselves before that. So I don't know, Jay. Why don't you kind of give us the genesis of this trip?
Sure. Yeah, we were meeting our dad for a father and two sons trip. And Craig turned to me and said, I cannot believe that we are going to be in the Orlando, Port Canaveral area and not going to Disney World. We got to find a way to get down there a couple days and just kind of add on to this other vacation. We each have taken our families. We each have kids. We've done the family trips. But for the two of us to say, hey, let's see if we can add on and just do a couple days. And, you know, I said, great, I'm game. And so we planned a kind of a Wednesday afternoon to Friday afternoon trip.
All right. And
Aaron, I had not been to Orlando since 1993.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I wanted to go to next, Craig, was that, you know, when we first talked about this trip, you were saying that, you know, the original plan was, well, gee, Craig hadn't been to Orlando in 20 years. So let's figure out what things we've got to make sure we hit that Craig's missed. Because you both actually lived out in California for a while. You were at Disneyland fairly frequently, but you hadn't been back to Orlando. And so...
I actually had gone to Orlando about 8 months earlier with my wife and kids, which was a very different experience. So I had just been able, on one hand, scope it out, and yet there were a couple things that I didn't get to do because there were things I wanted to do, but my 8 and 10-year-old didn't necessarily want to do it or go at the pace that Craig and I could go at. So it was a very different experience, even though I had been there within the last year.
Okay, so Craig, when you guys figured out you were going to do this whirlwind trip, what were the things that you were most excited about doing in Orlando that were not available when you were there last?
I think the first thing that popped into my mind was that Animal Kingdom really had barely even been thought of last time I had been there. So I really wanted to make sure that I saw Disney's Animal Kingdom. I had heard of it, I'd seen it in the pictures and all that stuff. It looked like a lot of fun. But just a whole theme park that had grown since my last visit.
Okay. And Jay, what about you? What was it you were most excited to show him based on the fact he hadn't been there for a while?
It was really some of the new rides, definitely. Expedition Everest, which when I went with my kids, I went on 5 times. and so that was something that it was really neat. And it was also, I had gotten really into it with my son of looking at all the modern marvels and watching a bunch of documentaries. And so there was all this kind of new information that I was really kind of pumped with. To just kind of go throughout the park and, oh, do you know the history behind that, the story behind that?
Yeah, especially at Animal Kingdom, there's some great story there and good information, too, to kind of prepare you for it that's already out there in the media. How was taking this trip different from trips you had taken previously? I mean, Craig, even trips that you had taken, 10, 15, 20 years ago, or even Disneyland trips that you'd taken with your family, how was a trip with just the two brothers different than a trip with your families?
Well, there's certain things that you don't really have to do when you don't have the kids with you, like Small World. I kind of avoid it usually when I can. I think I had a bad memory from childhood in Orlando, actually, with my family, and we got stuck. And it was a good 20, 30 minutes of nonstop that song and the same scene over and over and over again.
Yeah, guys, I may have to talk to Josh and see whether he can add in the special Disney-fed ending to our intro music just for Craig after that story.
For me, the big thing was, there were some individual attractions, so I couldn't get my kids to want to go over to the World Showcase at Epcot, and I really wanted to do the big show at American Adventure. That's something I remembered from when I was, 15, 20 years ago, the last time I had been there. And then when I was there with my family, my kids, I drugged them to Hall of Presidents over at Magic Kingdom, and so to get them to a second one of those was not going to happen. So that was one thing that I knew I didn't have to do any negotiation. Craig said I wanted to do this, I said I wanted to do this, and everything basically got on the list. The other big thing is when you're not schlepping kids around, or wives for that matter, we were able to go at a really quick pace and just bounce from one thing to the next. And even if we needed to crisscross the park to make a show at a certain time, like we did at Animal Kingdom, when we went from the Lion King experience to then over to Finding Nemo, when we had kind of a tight time frame, it's something I couldn't have done taking the other three members of my family with me. But Craig and I are like, yeah, we can totally do that.
Yeah, so Nate, did you have a similar experience when you were touring with, your 16-year-old son and not having to deal with the younger kids?
Yeah, absolutely. We were able to, do what we wanted and get from one location to another very quickly, just like Jay had said there.
And did it change the way you guys ate at the parks?
We mainly did counter service stuff and, occasionally just snacking instead of having a full meal.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jay or Craig?
We ended up eating similar restaurants as what I did with my family. For instance, like the one sit-down meal we did right on Main Street, because when I had done it with my family, it was a perfect dinner to have to walk right out to see the Main Street Electric Parade. And so that was something I suggested that Craig and I should do the exact same thing. So for me, eating wasn't the thing. It was more timing, and also like with the kids, we had a little bit longer. We went back and went swimming back at our hotel. And my wife wanted to take a nap middle of the day. And so we ended up eating dinner at our hotel at the Port Orleans when I was with my family. And that was something that just never would cross our mind when it was just me and Craig.
Sure.
But I'd say, too, that timing is much less regimented. When you have a 4-year-old, he's got to eat when he wants to eat. And also, my wife is also very particular about what times of day she likes to have lunch and dinner. So if you hit that 12:30 hour and you haven't really sat down yet, and I say, I want to go over and catch this show on the other side of the park. No, it's time for lunch. So it's different. And I say that with all the love in the world in case she listens.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember that exact feeling of you know, sort of the relief of not checking your watch, you know, not worrying that it's getting late for the kids. We've got to get something now, or we need to get in line to get food now before the lines get bad at a quick serve place or something like that. It just wasn't even a consideration. You just kind of could go with the flow more easily.
Right.
So how many, I know we had talked at one point, Jay and Craig, at one point you were going to try and hit all four parks in one day. And I know that, huh?
We did it in 2 days.
Okay. So how did you end up breaking that up?
We went to Thursday morning. We went to Magic Kingdom because it had early magic hours, and we did the entire morning there. Then we went over to Hollywood Studios and spent the entire afternoon at Hollywood Studios and went back to Magic Kingdom in the evening so we could be there for the Main Street Electric Parade and Magic Memories and Me and the Wishes Fireworks Show. And then the next day, because of the early magic hours it wasn't early magic hours, but we went to the Animal Kingdom first thing in the morning, and then the afternoon we spent at Epcot, and we were back at the hotel by 4 o'clock when our dad swung by to pick us up, and we really got just about everything we wanted to do in all four parks in those really even less than two full days.
Terrific. Yeah, see, I don't think that there's any way I could maintain that kind of a pace over 2 days, you know, with family. Now, Nate, tell us a little bit about where your trip came from, the idea of you and your son just kind of going down by yourselves.
My son was really interested in the One More Disney Day, the Leap Day 24-hour thing.
Right.
And I had scheduled the trip around that day. Something come up in my family, illness, and we had to slide that back. So we missed the One More Disney Day, but we still had a great time. And, you know, it was a great father-son trip. I don't know.
Well, how long a trip was it?
It was, we had 3 park days. Okay. And since we were driving down and back, total of 5 days of the trip.
Right.
So, yeah, drive down. Made a few stops. I met a fellow Diz dad, Fed, from the Diz boards.
Right.
And we made a stop at a Disney outlet in St. Augustine. That's where it's at. And we checked into the Pop Century, which was the first for us. We were usually Coronado Springs people.
Okay, so that's another thing, actually. You know, traveling by yourself or traveling without family, you can sometimes check out things that you wouldn't be able to with your families. You know, Nate, you and your son were able to stay at Pop Century. It's not really enough space for you when you've got your whole family with you.
That's true.
You know, Jay and Craig, I know, Jay, you were at Port Orleans on your last trip with your family. And this time, you know, with just the two of you, you were able to check out, you know, the Value Resort instead. What did you think of the values, since you hadn't been there before with your families?
Value Resort, it was just perfect for two people. I could see it being very problematic with my poo-sized family fitting in there. Four people in those double beds. But
that's exactly what I was going to say, too, is that for two people, perfect. My wife would not have enjoyed it. The kids would not have enjoyed it. It would have been tight. Also, you know, staying much longer than we did might have been tight. But for a couple days and two of us, it was perfect.
Yeah, that was my sense as well, although, you know, I had the room to myself. But even in that, it was comfortable. I mean, I've stayed at a Value with the family, and we've done it before. At the rate that John's growing, that's not going to happen again, at least not for any extended period of time, just because, you know, like you said, the double beds, it just gets tight. And now that, you know, there are more options in the moderate range with queen size beds, it makes it easier to, you know, move up a level and have a little space when you've got the whole family there.
Yeah, it also allowed me to really see, because I was inspired by this trip that we're going back in October, and I wanted to see what the value resort room looked like, the, you know, the basic standard room. And so that way I could see, well, would this work for the three of us? And, well, we've added a fourth person, and so it was very clear to me that there's no way that we were going to do this. We're going to Art of Animation, and it, you know, definitely helped me decide against the Little Mermaid room and to go for one of the Cars suites instead.
That's a good point, and you did get that opportunity to kind of, you know, scope it out firsthand. It's one thing to see, you know, in the see it written up that the room is, you know, whatever, however many square feet. It's another thing to actually experience it and have a real personal sense of, you know, for me, the biggest thing, aside from the beds in the value rooms, is just the limited amount of space to move around. And especially with a young kid, you know, that can be a real challenge. So Dave, we've barely brought you in here, but why don't you give us kind of the background on your guy trip?
Well, mine was a company conference that was going to go on down in Orlando, and we were, the whole thing was going on just, you know, on the outside of Disney World, and you know, you could see it, you could throw things to it, but it was just so far away you couldn't get to it. So my plan was to pretty much get away on that Friday and head on over to Magic Kingdom, and the next day extend my day just a little longer, and on a Saturday head on over to the studios and enjoy my day there. And luckily, in Denver, they were having a blizzard, so it kind of it worked out that the workflow was not, you know, very, no one was very productive, and so no one really needed me that day, so I was able to very quietly sneak away from the conference and head over to the Magic Kingdom earlier than I planned. And I decided to splurge and go with the Dolphin, and I'm really glad I did, because, you know, I was kind of looking for something on property because I didn't want to mess with renting a car for the last half or any of that. And I was really glad I went with that because it was a central location. I could take the boat in the morning to the studios, and of course take the on-site transportation around. And I was nursing a cold at the time, you know, just, you know, it was the middle of winter, it was February. And so I was glad I did, because those heavenly beds at the Dolphin were something that if anyone has a chance to stay at the Dolphin, I would recommend it, because those beds, you're so relaxed and you're so refreshed the next day. I didn't believe it when I heard it, but you are. They're great beds.
So they're heavenly even.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, we've stayed at the Swan before, and it's the same, you know, they're Starwood properties, and they're the same beds, and I would concur. They're incredibly comfortable. I still don't know that I would recommend them over the alternatives on property. It really depends on the circumstance, but they are incredibly comfortable beds. And did you notice, what kinds of things did you do differently touring by yourself as opposed to touring with your family?
Well, as Jay and Craig kind of alluded to, you're able to just, you're move around at such a quicker pace. I mean, you're moving around, you got this big old smile like a kid, you know, and you're dodging around people, and yet you're at a fast pace, but then you can be at your own pace to slow down and just stop and, hey, wait a minute, I want to look at this on Main Street. I want to take a look at this, you know, some of the windows and see what's going on in here. Take some video of it. Or, you know, here's the, they're lowering the flag. I'm just going to, you know, sit here for a minute and just enjoy that and take that in. And it was an opportunity to do that. You had the mad dashes, or you had just the time to slow down and go, hey, this is really great. This is nice. And just take it all in, and the smells, and watch people for a while. And it was just a lot of fun to do that.
And so, Nate, what were some things that you tried or that you did with your son that you hadn't really had a chance to do before because you were traveling with your family?
First and foremost, we were able to do a tour. A lot of those tours, you had to be 16 and older. So we took the Keys to the Kingdom tour to Magic Kingdom. It was lots of fun. I recommend it for anybody. And it was our first time we ever did park hopping. Usually our family's been one park, one day type people. You know, we choose a park and that's where we're at for the full day.
Yeah.
Commando style. And we also, you know, while we were at the Magic Kingdom one day, we decided to take one of the boats over to the Wilderness Lodge. He wanted to go see the Carrollwood Pacific reading room at the villas over there at the Wilderness right. Lodge. And that was a pretty neat trip, too, around the Bay Lake there.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
Yeah.
And Jay and Craig, how about you? What were things, we talked a little bit about things you did, you know, that you wouldn't have done with your families. If you had to pick, you know, one thing each that was your favorite thing about, you know, this trip that you took with just your brother as opposed to the rest of your families, you know, Craig, what would your favorite thing have been?
You mean like an attraction or?
Anything. I mean, we talk a lot among the Diz Dads group here about how, you know, overall, Walt Disney World is full of experiences, and sometimes it's an attraction, sometimes it's a restaurant, sometimes it's even, some would claim, just standing on Main Street and seeing the castle down at the end of the street.
I'll tell you what, it was actually at the end of a thrill ride, turning to the person next to me, knowing who it was, and being able to talk about it. You know, we got off of Rock and Roller Coaster, that's something where my wife wouldn't go on it, and even if she would, we would have done a rider switch. And so I've always been waiting in line with strangers and riding with strangers when I do these rides. And so at the end of it, I turn around to some stranger and go, "Hey, that was awesome." Look at me like, "Don't talk to me, you're a stranger." So it was nice to be able to be riding with someone, and you could share the experience and talk about it.
Yeah, because, you know, when he turns to you and says, "Don't talk to me," it's a little different.
That's been going on for years now.
So, Jay, how about you? What would be your sort of favorite thing about a trip where, you know, it was just you and your brother, you didn't have your family along with you?
I think it was not that these don't happen when you have the family along, but kind of the serendipitous moments because you're not on anybody else's time frame. So we had made a decision on the night we were at Magic Kingdom that we were going to, we weren't sure whether we were going to do the early Electric Light Parade or the late Electric Light Parade. And what we ended up doing, because we crammed in a couple rides, was we caught kind of the Electric Light Parade from back in the pack. And we were like, okay, that's probably good enough. We saw it. It was neat. We heard the music, took us back to childhood, all that. Then we saw the stuff in front of the castle, and it was great. And we're like, all right, let's head out of here before the crowds, and it's fine. And we made a decision to leave. And when I, with my family, we make a decision to leave, we probably would have actually left. It was late. We'd get the kids back to the hotel. And as we were walking out down Main Street, we kind of saw an open spot on the curb, and we turned to one of the cast members, and we said, "Wait, isn't this where the parade's the late Electric Light Parade is going to start in about like 3 minutes?" And she said, "Yeah, it's coming right out this door here." And Craig and I said, "All right, cool." And we plopped ourselves down right on the curb, and we're literally right there when they came out. Right away, all the little floats came right up to us, nose to nose. And it was that kind of just being on our own time frame to allow for those serendipitous moments. That to me was the coolest part.
That sounds like a great experience. I'm a little jealous. how about you, Dave? What was your favorite experience that you had, you know, that you were able to have because you were traveling by yourself and, you know, you didn't have family along to, you know, deal with their issues or whatever they wanted to do?
Small world. No.
though I did go on Small World on a dare by Mark Pratt, and I had to send him pictures that I did do it just to prove that I went on it by myself. But I want to say doing Star Tours 5 times in a row, just back to back, and then just going down the street and doing Tower of Terror and then jumping on Rock and Roller Coaster, just all together at, you know, at a fast pace. And that was more than my head could really take, but that was great fun.
So I guess for me, one of the things that really struck me, you know, being around the parks when the kids weren't there. Well, okay, wait, I got to back up. I got to change my mind. I was going to talk just about sort of generally the ability to, you know, do what I wanted to do and change my mind when I was halfway there if I wanted to and do something different. But I have to change my mind and mention that I got to go and spend probably about half an hour at La Cava de Tequila enjoying a Scorpion flight, you know, on Len Testa's tab. That's something I never could have done with my children in tow. And it was terrific. You know, it was one of those experiences that, on the one hand, it's an adult experience. It's a thing that you can't really do with the kids around. On the other hand, it was a laid-back experience. It was the kind of thing that, you know, it was, in the midst of a go-go-go trip, a chance to kick back, relax with some other people, but, you know, in a different atmosphere than I usually get to experience at Walt Disney World with the family and the kids. So that to me was a lot of fun. Well, does anybody have anything about their trip that, you know, really stands out that we haven't talked about yet?
You know,
several people do. Nate, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, even though me and my son had a blast, there were times I thought, you know, mother son would really like this, or my wife would really like that. So I did miss them. So
that's in case true.
My wife listens to this podcast.
That's right. You're covered now, Nate. Somebody else was talking too.
Well, it was a lot of fun to actually stick to my touring plan and, you know, not have to deviate from it at all and just keep going with what, you know, the plan said, what my app said was next, and just being able to see how good that was and how productive it was for my trip, especially in the Magic Kingdom.
And Jay or Craig, either of you have something that we kind of not talked about yet that was important about your trip that you'd want to share?
You know, I'll tell you, I thought it was neat getting reactions from people, like when we'd be sitting by somebody on the bus or standing in line next to people. And, you know, not that we were totally unique, but since so many people, you know, do come there with their families, with their kids, and it was neat reactions to get, wait, you guys are here without your kids and you planned coming here without your kids, and you're having a great time, and how do your kids feel about it? And it made for some very interesting conversations, and even some people that said, huh, that sounds really cool. I'd like to try that sometime.
Once we got over the shame.
Yes, yes, we've all admitted we missed our families at some point during our trips. Now that we've got that out of the way.
I mean, I kept texting pictures to my wife and kids, you know, as far as like where we were. And they, you know, the first one, they were like, okay, now I'm jealous. And after that, they're like, oh, cool, where are you now? And oh, I remember when we did that together. And so there was still a way that Craig and I could be having the brother experience and yet could be there with the kids. Like, I called the kids during the Electric Light Parade and, you know, just held the phone. Hey, you guys want to listen to the music and held the phone up. And they thought that was really cool. So I found a way to kind of blend those two worlds.
That's nice. A nice way to kind of bring them in and let them enjoy it with you. Well, you've all heard what we think about these Just the Guys trips to Walt Disney World and, you know, kind of the adult getaway. We'd love to hear from you, hear about your experiences. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, or participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Jay, Craig, thanks a lot for joining us. Really enjoyed having you here.
My pleasure.
Anytime.
And Nate, Dave, thanks for being along again.
Sure.
No problem.
Until next week, thanks a lot for listening. Nice job, guys.
Nice job, Craig, Jay.
Thank you, that was fun.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.
This has been a Wizard of Oz production.